You're listening to Casting Dreams with me, Jonathan Eaton.
And I'm Patrick Anderson.
And this is the season finale of the first season of Casting Dreams. We're not done, but we are done for this season. And we have picked a great game, I think, to go out on. A huge game to go out on our first season. Patrick, you want to hold it up and tell everyone what we're talking about?
We're talking about D2.
D2. I don't know why there's a dot in the middle of it.
Is it a dot? It's like a dot.
D, and then there's like a little dot, and then there's two. Oh, real quick, though, and this is very visual, so I apologize for anyone who's just listening to this, but I have a reveal for Patrick and for anyone who I might pull a clip of this. But back in December, I turned 40, and we had a birthday party here at my house for me and my wife, Becca, planned this party that we had like talked about doing for a really long time, just as like its own thing. And then we were like, oh, that'd be a great one to do for Jonathan's 40th. And it was a middle school dance party. The idea was like, you should dress how you did in like middle school. And for all of us, you know, for the most part, that's like the 90s. So I went through, I've never thrown a t-shirt away ever in my entire life, which is insane. I have a million t-shirts. They're all in like storage. I don't know what to do with them. I was going through my old t-shirts trying to find like the best one to wear, and I ended up wearing, I think, a Brack shirt from like Space Ghost. that's very like Patrick remembers.
Oh yeah.
I looked like in the 90s. But while I was looking through t-shirts, I found, are you ready for this?
Yeah. Oh yes, yes.
I found I'm guessing 1999 era.
Yes.
Sega Dreamcast t-shirt that says fucking EB Games on the side of it. Electronics Boutique. I have my EB Games Sega Dreamcast shirt, so I was like, ooh, I gotta wear that for the finale.
Oh, I should have. Oh, I'm wearing my Joe Bob Briggs Monster Vision shirt. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I should have worn that too.
Do you have this?
Or yes.
Have the same thing?
I still have it, yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
Yes.
It's amazing. I also hate it because it's like, I used to buy like large and extra large t-shirts.
Oh.
And I was like, because my mom, when I was a kid, was like, buy them extra large so you'll grow into them. Like, how big did you think I was going to be?
Next large.
I am 40 years old and I wear medium sized t-shirts.
Oh my God, that's awesome. You'll grow into it.
You'll grow into it. So yeah, I have a bunch of Space Ghost t-shirts that are all XL. Oh my God. But yeah, we're talking about D2 to close out this first season of Casting Dreams. You have an original copy, is that right?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
That's incredible. When did you get that?
It was the day it came out. Because I was a fan of the first D on PlayStation, Sega Saturn. And then the second game that Kenji Eno, the director of D&D 2, did a game for the Sega Saturn called Enemy Zero.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
I have that too. So, I got this the day it came out. I was like, all right, let's see what it's all about. So, yep.
I have so many notes for this game.
So I'm very excited. I'm very excited to talk about this.
I have so many notes that are mostly plot related.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I should say that this episode will be slightly different, I think, from our other episodes, because I have so many video. I had so many clips because there's so many clips that are so good from this game. but the clips are also, they're so fucking long.
I think they say the amount of clips in the game, I think like an average playthrough is what, like 7 or 8 hours?
It's like about 7 hours, yeah.
And then half of that time are clips.
I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I have very little notes actually on the development of this game. I don't do like crazy research. I don't go like super in depth, but I try and like get a good broad, you know, like overview of this type of stuff.
Sure.
I feel like I have less notes on the development of this game than I did for like fucking Dynamite Cop, which is insane. There's so little information on this game. Even down to the plot, if you search plot of D2, it, what comes up is basically the intro. Like, if you look up the plot on, like, Wikipedia or anything, the plot just tells you the setup of the game, and it doesn't go past her, like, waking up in the cabin. It's insane.
It doesn't say anything about, like, the ending and, like, how many HIV virus, AIDS death, starving children.
Spoiler alert, Patrick.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wrote all those down.
Oh, you wrote them all down? Oh, my God. That, okay. Okay, so I'll tell you my development notes. Question for you was, did you play this whole thing? Like,
yes.
That's crazy. I did not.
It's okay.
But that's awesome that you did.
I had to see it. I mean, it's been how many years? Let's just say
25, right?
Let's say
came out in 2000,
roughly around,
I think.
Yeah, so let's just say about that. So I'm like, okay, I'm this far. I'm just gonna go. So
okay,
yeah.
And I will say, to jump ahead a little bit on like gameplay notes, this game was a lot easier to play than I thought it was gonna be. Miles ahead of like Blue Stingers, like some of the other stuff that we played that I really struggled with. I actually didn't with this, which was shocking. To
me. I actually playing it again. Yeah, I was just like, oh, okay, so it's POV. And then you have, you know, your two buttons to look left and right and just shoot and, there we go. All right. Pretty simple. And yeah, really not that challenging, honestly, but it's the story, Jonathan.
It's the story.
It's the story.
It's the story, Patrick. So like you said, this is the sequel to D. And I didn't know anything about D. I didn't know anything about this game, actually. I had been aware of this game for years. I had never played it. Spent $100 to get the four discs on eBay without a case. So I just have four loose discs. Because this is another thing. I tried looking up why, and I couldn't get an answer. This game is impossible to reproduce. There's other multi-disc games that you can reproduce for the Dreamcast, but you can't this one. And I don't...
Really?
And I don't know why. I cannot get a good answer on it.
Wow. And
yeah. So for some reason, not only is this game like very hard to find out of like Dreamcast games are hard to find, this game is really hard to find. You can't reproduce it, which makes it even harder to find because, you know, we can just pay like $40-$60 to get like a batch of reproduced Dreamcast games, but you can't do it with this one. So the original D was an FMV game. For those of you who don't know, that's full motion video, which I feel like it's an extremely outdated term now.
Yes, I love it.
I do love it, though.
FMV.
FMV. Yeah. FMV just means cutscene, really. But it means like, not necessarily CG cutscene. It just means, I think it just means cutscene, really. Full motion video.
Yeah, I mean, basically it looks like, I think you nailed it right there. It looks close enough to like CG. It's obviously maybe higher resolution or better looking graphics, but you have limited motion.
D was a FMV game, is basically an interactive movie. It was released in 1995 for the 3DO. It was ported to the Saturn and PlayStation. The story of D was you play as Laura Harris, and she investigates her father's killing spree at a hospital. She goes to the hospital. The hospital turns into a castle. And then at a certain point, like, you know, she just has to, I guess, fight her way through the castle. And at some point discovers that her father was descended from Dracula. Yes. So that's where the D of it comes into.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So D was a big success when it came out. Like you said, it was written and directed by Kenji Ino. He started developing a sequel to D for the successor to the 3DO, which was going to be the Panasonic M2, but that was canceled. While they were developing D2 for the Panasonic M2, the story was going to be following, it was going to be a direct sequel, so it was going to be following the same character, Laura Harris, on an airplane. Her unborn child in her womb was going to be abducted from out of her womb and then magically aged up and transported back in time to a castle. And then you were going to play as her teenage son and it was going to be all supernatural. The game was 50% complete when it was when the Panasonic M2 was canceled, and so instead of continuing to develop it for something else, they just scrapped everything and they started over completely, and they made this game, and they called it D2, even though it has nothing to do with D, and the character's name is Laura Parton.
Laura Parton.
No relation to Laura Harris.
Nope. No, oh,
none.
No.
And it's a completely different story. It has nothing to do with Dracula, so I love that it's called D2.
The character in Enemy Zero, I'm sorry to step off, but the Sega Saturn game, your main character's name is Laura. So, yes.
Yeah, I read, this is another thing I read, I didn't write it down, but I just remembered, when they made the Laura character for D, they called it, what did they call it? They called it like animated actor or something, but they literally they had the character of Laura created, digital actress, I think is what they called her. So they literally then cast Laura in Enemy Zero and then in D2. They just used, I think, the same design, and they were basically saying she's a digital actress.
What are they smoking over there?
Oh, I just don't know. I just don't know. That's basically all the information I have on this game.
That's perfect. I mean, honestly, I think all you need, and from what I've gotten too. I mean, or the history even during that time, because I remember the M2, was going to be the 3DO successor, and I remember seeing snapshots of D2 on that platform, and I was like, man, do I have to go buy an N2? Because I really liked D.
Yeah.
But then when I heard, nope, it's coming to the Dreamcast, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
If I didn't spend $500 for that M2 piece of shit, that didn't come out.
$500?
I think it was going for $500, I think. Yeah.
Oh, in those days, that's like a grand.
That is,
It's too much money.
I mean, even the Sega Saturn back in 95 was, I think it was $399.
Jesus Christ, that's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't pay for it. Thanks, Dad. Because he felt there was some family stuff going on, so I think I got a free gift out of it. So,
I mean, look, who's going to say no? What child is going to say no to bribery gifts?
Hey, I mean, my mom threatened to... my father to take it back to Toys R Us, but I hid it underneath my bed and I locked my door, and I just said no. So luckily I got to keep it. So yes.
Okay. I'm just going to play my first clip, which is the opening movie, basically, of D2. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we're going to make it through the whole thing, because this shit is 10 minutes long.
Yeah. Well, just shadow.
That's
a couple minutes.
Okay, so here's a fun thing. I did not watch this because you have to put the fourth disc in to watch it.
Right. Yeah.
When you start up D2, it's like load game, new game, or opening movie. So I was like, oh, I'll play the opening movie. And then it said insert disc 4, and I am so lazy, and I was like, no. And I just started the game. But why would it just be on the first disc? It's probably a size, a storage thing.
They do that for Enemy Zero 2 on the Saturn. There's a separate disc just for intro and learn how to play, and then it's
oh my God.
Okay, put the other disc in. So.
But at least make that disc 1. I don't know.
Yeah. I think they call it Disc Zero, I think.
Disc Zero, Enemy Zero.
Enemy Zero. Mm-hmm.
So far, it's just a guy walking through the snow.
Yeah.
And screaming.
D2, everybody.
And then we get the title, D2. Oh my God, I will say that this game has pacing issues.
Just a little.
And in its cutscenes, at one point I'm like, Jesus, what is this, Metal Gear Solid?
There's Kim.
There's Kimberly. Kim. I love all these characters. Spoiler alert, I fucking love this game.
Okay, okay, good. I'm glad you like it.
I have thoughts on the playability of it.
Yes, yes.
But like you were saying, it's all about the story. And it's fucking, it's wild, man.
Yeah, it's, the other thing too, as we see our buddy Laura here, I like how she only says her name twice in the whole game.
Yeah.
But she doesn't say anything else. She just...
I don't understand that. I literally... That's one of the notes the I games. Wrote...
Yeah.
I wrote... Oh, fuck, where is it? I took so many notes at the end of the game, specifically. But yeah, like the first time she speaks is like on the last disc. Yeah, okay. Laura speaks for the first time entering... the laboratory, she says laboratory. Her name. Uh-huh. And then in the very, very end, in the like closing movie, she says David's name. She's like, David!
Oh, David, that's right.
Like, yeah. The only thing this chick says is her own name and David's name. And then other than that, yeah, like you said, it's just like, Okay, so a meteor is coming to Earth. I don't know what that symbol is supposed to be.
It reminds me of a Irish Celtic...
yeah, like a Celtic knot?
Yeah, because somebody in my past had that on her shoulder, so I was like, oh, it looks like a...
Yeah. Yeah, I really don't know what that symbol is supposed to be.
Is it? So it's... yeah, they could have just showed the one piece of the meteor. I don't know why it has to break into some... But whatever. Okay,
I mean,
whatever.
They really, like, they go all out. Again, the pacing. They really... Yeah. They're just letting moments like sit.
I really feel that Kenji Enno,
yeah,
playing this game and seeing how many cutscenes, very much like Hideo Kojima. I mean, I just feel like, dude, just make a movie. Like, don't.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yes.
Don't make a game. Just make a movie.
Just make
you
a movie.
You want to be a director. Clearly, you want to be a director.
Yes.
Just make a movie.
And there's totally something to be said for the cross section between video games and movies. But there is a certain point. Okay. We're just going to be, talking through this entire movie because it is so, so long. Now we're with Laura. She's on an airplane. I don't know what she was typing. Like
the date,
but like, yeah, I don't know why. I don't know. Have you ever played any of the, I think it's the Supermassive games, the ones that are like Until Dawn and the Quarry?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Those games are also basically like interactive movies, and the appeal for those games are the branching paths, right? Like you make a ton of decisions and like characters can die or not or whatever. But like I've only played, they have a bunch of them. I've only played Until Dawn and the Quarry.
Same here.
Oh, okay. I'm curious what you thought, because what did you think of both of those games?
I, surprisingly enough, I liked both of them. I know the Quarry I played with my wife, and we had fun just doing that together. But Until Dawn, I have it on PS4, and I bought it on PS5, even though I heard it's not very good. it seems to be a lot of glitches and stuff like that. I liked both of them. I don't really care for they work on those other series of games. It's
the
Dark Pictures or something.
Dark Pictures. Yes.
I haven't tried those. I haven't tried those.
Sorry. There's a, Shadow the Final Destroyer. Shadow the Final Destroyer. okay. Going back to D2, we're on an airplane. Laura's on an airplane. You meet this guy David. He's sitting across from her. There's Kim is there. All the characters in the game are on this plane. Like Kim is on the plane. Parker is on the plane. But my favorite thing is that there's a guy who's a sorcerer. He's just like a straight up sorcerer. Like that guy was at the airport. You know, like that guy got on a plane and he looks like a sorcerer. And he had to have been like, here's my boarding pass. Like,
I would like peanuts and a Diet Coke.
And then, and yeah, he's like got a crystal ball and he's chanting Shadow, Shadow, the Destroyer. Okay. And now there's terrorists on the plane who are just indiscriminately shooting machine guns.
Sure.
The guy in the sunglasses, the terrorist in the sunglasses, is he the first monster that busts through the cat? I that took me so long to figure out.
Yeah.
Because at one point you meet him again and he's like, I'm sorry or whatever. And I was like, who are you? But then I was like, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah.
Okay. I liked Until Dawn fine. Mm-hmm. And then I played the Quarry because I liked Until Dawn. And I liked the Quarry, but when it was over, I liked it less than Until Dawn because had more fucking gameplay. Like, the Quarry was literally just a playable movie. Like, all you did was, like, do a couple of choices, really. You don't really, like, move people around that much. And then it's over, and then I was, like, looking, I was just doing a little bit of research. There, you have to, like, if you would want to do any branching paths, do anything differently, you have to play the whole game over again and basically, like, sit through everything over again. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. That's so much work. Oh, like,
no.
Yeah. This guy points a gun at a child. Okay.
And I guess those bullets actually don't go through the plane except when he does the one final shot.
Yes.
Okay.
He's shooting everywhere and it's not doing anything to the plane, which is crazy for this plane.
Bulletproof plane. Yeah.
So David, I don't remember when you find out, but like I think he's an FBI agent, right?
Right. Yeah, he's some type of agent.
He's an FBI agent. He's got a gun. He shoots one of the terrorists, and then Laura has this compact that, for some reason, glows and shows like a premonition of a meteor hitting the plane right before it does. So then a meteor hits the plane. Plane goes down, and then Laura wakes up in the Arctic.
And the compact that you see at the beginning intro, there's a compact in the first D game.
So, oh, really?
I guess that's one thing they brought over, yeah. But it showed certain things like events or clues or things like that, so.
Okay.
Okay, put in
so that's disc, not even, yeah. Disc. Put disc one back in, so that's not even starting the game.
No. Thank you. It was nice to revisit after beating it. So thank you. It was nice to.
No problem.
I love hearing Shadow. Shadow. Shadow.
Shadow. Shadow. Shadow. Shadow, 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 Shadow the Destroyer. Shadow the Destroyer. So then you. This is how I started the game. I didn't watch any of that.
Okay.
But you know what's good? You know what's great about this game? All the characters constantly tell you everything that's going on constantly over and over and over again.
Yes, they do. So you didn't really need to see it. You
didn't really.
Right.
I didn't need to see any of that because I was like, no, I got it.
Yeah, you got it. You cool.
Yeah, so you play as Laura Parton. You wake up in this cabin with Kim, who tells you that the plane crashed and that it's been 8 days since the plane crash and she found you after 8 days. So there's like 8 days unaccounted for,
right.
In your history. There's a, I don't know. Kim talks. I don't know who talks more in this game, but I want to say it's Kim who talks the most.
Yes, I would say it's Kim. I agree. Yeah.
I don't know, like, at a certain point, I was going to do the whole opening, like, there's the opening cinematic, which we just watched, and then there's, like, the opening, like, cutscene, and it's so fucking long. So, you wake up, Kim tells you this information, and then just, like, and then this happens. Okay, so the guy in the sunglasses. I didn't piece those two things together, but the terrorist from the plane suddenly comes into the cabin that you're in. And as we learn later in the game, he blossoms.
Yes, into a beautiful flower.
Into a beautiful flower. A couple. There's a couple of things that I was really thinking of, like with the monsters. Obviously, the thing.
Right.
Huge, huge thing. But then even like Resident Evil, I was like, I think Resident Evil might have lifted a lot of these like monster like designs.
Well, I think it kind of works both ways. You know, they might have lifted some stuff, and then clearly, I mean, in order to really get the okay to go with a horror film, obviously Resident Evil will help lead that pack. So yeah, I think it's, you know, it's good. It's all good.
Yeah. He's got a big this game is also like really sexual without being overtly sexual. Like no one calls attention to it, but like there's straight up tentacle monsters. Okay. So this is another bit of trivia I had. This scene, Kim gets like wrapped up in this guy's big tentacle, and then like this little mouth comes out, and it's about to happen. It really takes this time. It's like this flower, and then this gross like mouth in the flower shoves into her mouth. Okay, right here. Apparently that's censored. It's one of the only things they actually censored from the Japanese version to the US version. They move the camera angle. So in the Japanese version, you see the tentacle basically like raping her mouth, which is what it's doing. And in this game, or in this version, you know, it's implied. We know it's happening. But I just thought that was interesting. That was one of the only things though that they censored. There's other crazy shit in this game that's not censored.
Yeah. Oh, like that, I was going to say, kind of near the end with a certain machine that...
Yep.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. I did not take a video for that, but I did take some notes, and we'll get to it.
Well, yes, absolutely. Yes.
And then, okay, so this is the other thing. It cuts from this monster shoving a tentacle into Kim's mouth, and then you see Laura picks up this rifle, and then it cuts to her point of view, and then you can, like, move the rifle around. But doesn't let you shoot. It just like lets you move the rifle around for like a second.
Right.
And I was like, what did I do wrong? I was so confused.
You
I don't really
let
know.
Jennings come in here and kick some ass.
And then yeah, Parker is one of the other characters. He comes in, shoots the monster, it goes away. So that's how the game starts. And then we get into basically the gameplay loop, which is very weird. Do you want to talk about it?
Gosh, I mean, what is there to say? It's goes to a, you know, first person perspective, which you know, it's cool that it goes between third and first. That's
yeah.
I guess at that time was kind of neat. Like, okay, you have somewhat of a open world in the snow to walk around, even though it's not really open. It's linear, but it seems open.
It's open for that. It's pretty open for that time.
Yeah, exactly. Well put.
And my guess is also why it's four discs, because that's probably just they needed that amount of space for the size of these levels.
Yeah, I mean, you're going back and forth. I mean, there's no warp holes to to go. I'm just going to go back. I mean, there's a lot of backtracking. But that was, you know, the staple of the late 90s, early 2000 type of games. But
yeah.
When it goes to first person, I mean, basically it's, you know, seeing your gun that you're using, if it's a rifle or machine gun or whatever. And then I can't remember the buttons. Is it X and B, I think, is on the left-hand side of your screen?
Yeah. For the fights.
Yeah, for the fights.
Yeah.
It'll help you go left to right. Because basically it's very much like an RPG, a role-playing game, if you think of it.
Yeah.
It has, and thank you. Yeah, we're seeing a clip of her walking around. But yeah, it's like, okay, here's two or three enemies randomly, you know, pop up. And as Jonathan mentioned before, they're not really challenging, just point and shoot. And then once it's done, it'll tell you what experience points you have gathered. And I don't think it really plays a huge part into that. At least I didn't notice.
It's just health, because I also was curious about it. The experience points will level you up, and the level up just increases your health, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, something that doesn't need to be, you know, oh, well, your weapon, you got to make sure to, you know, get that increased or whatever. Mm-hmm. By the way, I do think it is kind of funny how, yes, you know, you kind of do go through training with Kim on shooting for food.
Yeah.
I like it when you shoot a rabbit, it says two meats.
Two meats. I wrote that down, too. I wrote that. I got two meats.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Two meats.
Here's my notes I took down. Okay, first, I took some notes while I was playing. This opening cutscene is long. And then I wrote, is this the plot of The Thing?
Yeah.
And then I wrote, why can't I shoot a gun? Oh, wait, I got two meats.
Yeah, actually, I have Shadow, the final destroyer quotes.
Shadow. I'm gonna not stop doing that.
If I get that as my ringtone, that'd be pretty cool.
Shadow.
Hello. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much in a nutshell. It's RPG, you know, random enemies, first person perspective. You do have not 360, you have 180 perspective in your first person. And then after you do your battle, then it goes back to that open world, you know, searching around. I do like that music, though.
I love the music.
Isn't that cool? How like, when it ends the battle or anything, you go back and it's like...
And then, yeah, and then when it goes back in the gameplay, that do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah. I got real, like, I honestly, I was like, I love this these musical stings. It's the same one every time, and I love it.
Awesome. Okay, good, because I'm on the same page. I loved them. I actually made a note, like...
Yeah.
Man. But the snow, just even the atmosphere.
The atmosphere is great.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
The atmosphere is awesome. I like that it changes like times of day as you go through. So it like there's different lighting. The levels are really huge. And you're basically you're in Canada in like the wilderness. And there's there's basically like one level per disc. So each disc is just its own area that you run around in.
Yeah.
And the interiors are weird, too, because it was also giving me... So, like you were saying, you run around on foot in third person outside. When you... It's random monster encounter, so it really just seems to be, like, has it been long enough, and have you gone far enough to, like, have to fight more fucking monsters?
Right.
And then just, like, you'll have to fight monsters. So all of that shit's random. But every time you go inside somewhere, it switches to first person, but...
Right.
You don't really move around. You just kind of like it reminded me a lot of like old school computer point and click games
where yeah,
you
like just Myst. Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. Where you just like hover over shit. And you're like, what's this? What's this? Because all you're doing is like moving the camera like left and right and then like forward and back to like pick things up or like interact with people. And then there was one segment in the whole game. I don't think there was any other part of the game that was like this. And it's on the first disc. You go to a mine at one point, and the whole mine segment is like first person, like, you know, like Doom kind of, but like you're not shooting, but you are wandering around in first person. And that was like, that was interesting. That was an interesting choice, I thought. I got really frustrated in the mine because I kept getting turned around, and I was like, motherfucker. Yeah. but I will say, I wasted a lot of time at the beginning of this game because I just didn't know what to do. A huge problem I have is when I'm playing these old games, I keep playing them the way I play new games, and I like to explore. So I just went around exploring everything, and then eventually I literally looked up and like, what am I supposed to do? And it was like, go back to the cabin. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? But so for like, I swear to God, like 45 straight minutes, I probably wandered around that entire first level, like multiple times, like going to the plane, going to the mine, going back to the plane, going to the mine. Like, what am I missing? And it kind of helped me because just doing that, you just keep fighting monsters. And I leveled up a lot. So like, I got my health really high by the time, like I actually did anything like story-wise in the game. I was probably like level 6 or something.
Oh, nice.
By the time like anything happened. So I was like, I don't mind that. But it got repetitive once I started actually figuring out like what to do and like, oh, okay, I'll do this, I'll go back, I'll do this, I'll go back, okay, I'll move the story along. Then it did start to get repetitive how many times I had to fight monsters. Because then I was like, okay, I just want to like, now I got the hang of it. I want to actually like do some stuff. Mm-hmm. And I took count one time. At one point, you have to go from the cabin, which is like the starting location, to the mine. Yeah. And I got interrupted 7 times to fight monsters.
Wow.
Because it just keeps happening. It's random. But like, because the distance is so long, I was like, I'm so annoyed. Oh, and yeah, and like you mentioned, there's also hunting. So it's not... you can hunt, you get meat and a portable cooker, a portable grill or whatever, which increases your, like, it replenishes a lot of health, and you can get, like, a decent amount, like, if you bag a couple of caribous, you can get, like, a good amount of meat, but hunting sucked, because you have a rifle to hunt, and every time you look through the rifle, it's just, like, shaky as shit. Like, god damn, just take a deep breath or something, Maura.
Yeah, that's real though, Jonathan. That's very real.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Very, sorry, yeah, really uh-huh, yeah. Well, if it was real, I wouldn't be playing this game. Okay. Thank
you. So, the caribou ran like dogs. I don't have a clip of it, but when they run, they run like dogs. I was like, who animated? Have you seen like a deer before? Or a caribou or any, like, they don't run like dogs. Oh my god, it was so funny. They were just like, that's awesome. Just like hopping, that's awesome. Like dogs. Like, yeah, okay. I took so many clips. This, I just want to play this. I want to let this one just like land a little bit for people listening. This is just a really good example of how batshit insane the dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
And this is really early in the game, too.
But you know what? I got an idea. I think there's something here that we can both use. Want to hear it? It's called... Counting the Roses. I actually wrote the lyrics, believe it or not.
I'm going to pour myself some scotch while this happens.
Yeah, I'm
a poet. Someone who happened to read a poem of mine wrote and recorded this tune. I even got a letter once from someone who heard the song. Poetry to me, it's like creating my own microcosm. A sanctuary of comfort. It was probably, no, it must have been the end of another sad day when I wrote this poem.
This whole time I'm just like, can Laura talk?
Yeah, just no response.
No response at all. Just blank stare.
As far as the eye could see.
She's a good listener, though.
Yeah. She's a really good listener.
Good listener.
Yeah.
No response, but good listening. Yeah.
Like a yellow, like a brick wall.
And red and lavender. Hundreds of roses. So beautiful. You could lose yourself in them. In this shiny white world.
Wow.
So much to go there. Gentle place.
Really, oh my god. Oh my god.
For sure about my life.
Sorry, Kim. Sorry.
Yeah.
I had a second chance.
Sorry, what were you talking about? Roses? Oh, Jesus Christ. Is this still going?
No way. Anything but that. I don't want to go through it again. My father's accidental death.
I just want Laura to like nod off, be like, I'm sorry, what? Sorry.
You just see her eyes just...
yeah, just slowly close. She just starts to lay down.
Actually, I would like it if her eyes just, like, swirling around, like, you know, like, one eye went one way, another eye went the other way, like, woo! Uh-huh, I'm listening. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I recently went through some of my...
How long is this song? Wow.
Oh, my God. It's... so every long.
One of my hundreds. No.
That's why, again, I'm like, dude, just make a movie.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of budget that you're, you know, thinking, but, and obviously is very big on environmental issues, as we'll talk about later. But yes, and big government and all that stuff. But, yeah, just. That, thank you, Jonathan. I forgot about the
Counting Roses.
Counting song. Roses. Yeah.
That was around the time when I was like, oh, this game's awesome. I wrote down I wrote down VMU is a compass. Cool. The VMU is a compass while you're running around. That was kind of that helpful, but I wandered around for 45 minutes before going back to Kim. Whoops, that was a note I took. Kim has Silent Hill / Twin Peaks vibes. Oh, and then, Patrick, I wrote this one specifically for you. The tone is reminding me of Deadly Premonition.
And that is what I have right here in my page of notes.
Amazing.
This is basically, if Ken, you know, honestly, if Kenji was still alive,
Oh, is he dead?
Actually, he's dead. He died.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Early age. I think he was in his 30s.
Jesus Christ.
Late 30s, early 40s. Sad. But he did pass away. Yeah. But man, if Kenji and Swery 65, the director of Deadly Premonition, just make a game. Oh my God.
Are you sure Kenji, you know, died? Did he fake his death and change his name to Swery?
You know what? That is a good question. That is a good,
I was really hardcore playing this game. I was like, this feels like Deadly Premonition, like in tone, in like the rambly, weird nature of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that's why when, this obviously came out before Deadly. So when Deadly came out, it was like, oh, I'm going to like this. Okay. Yep. Okay. Yeah. I liked D2. So this is going to be the same thing. So.
Yeah, Twin Peaks obviously, you know, heavily influenced Deadly Premonition. I don't know if I ever read that Twin Peaks influenced Silent Hill. I remember reading some other stuff about like what influenced Silent Hill. But like that was like those two vibes, I don't know, like the weirdness of Twin Peaks and like this like the kind of rambly like monologues and stuff like that. Oh, also just like people saying Laura's name, like Laura. I'm like, oh, it's Twin Peaks. Laura.
Oh, my baby. Oh, Laura.
But yeah, that and then the like the Silent Hill, just like that, like the music. I don't know. There's a very specific like tone and vibe from these kinds of like Japanese games from that era that.
Yeah,
that are similar and clearly like we have a pretty huge soft spot for.
Yeah, love those guys. Yeah,
you have these visions throughout the whole game. I can't remember how many there are, but there's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And I think I only took a video of the first one because at a certain point I was just like, I gotta stop taking clips. But like, Laura. Every once in a while, you like basically pass out. And then you have one of these crazy visions of an eclipse. There's this lady talking to you. And you see weird shit. Now, when I saw this first one, the first thing I thought with this first vision, we haven't got to it yet. There's Laura's like in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is after you rescue the little girl in the mine.
Yes.
Yeah. So you go to the mine. There's this little girl, Janny. Not Janie. Oh. Janny.
I love her. I love her arch of the story.
Oh, my God.
Sorry for jumping.
No,
but I love
it. It's... She has a weird fate. I don't even understand what the point of her character is. But yeah, there's like a, oh, there's just having this crazy vision. There's a fucking magic door. You go through the door. The symbol on the doorknob isn't even the same symbol like that was on the Earth when like the meteor was coming, which feels like a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Okay, because yeah, so then you start having these visions that are all the same thing. It's like there's an Earth, there's an eclipse, and then there's like footage. When I saw this, I literally wrote down dinosaurs again because I was fucking thinking about Blue Stinger.
Oh, yes, yes. I was like,
is this another Blue Stinger? It's not, though.
Right.
Because, yeah, the what ends up happening is you have these visions throughout the whole game, and it's basically taking you through the history of the Earth. So the first one, which is this one, is dinosaurs and the meteor that
wiped them out.
That wipes them out. And it's all bad CG. All of the later visions is like stock footage, which is really jarring.
Yeah, it doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit very well.
Sorry, Kenji. Yeah, it doesn't fit.
But then, yeah, you get that vision. Then I think that's like disc one. You get to disc two. You get a snowmobile. So like the first entire disc, you get to run around this whole thing like by foot. And then you get a snowmobile, which makes traversing a little faster, which is nice. And then the first disc, you're like the first whole chapter, you're in this cabin. The second chapter, you're in this like kind of rundown like lodge.
Yeah.
Is it like a lodge kind of?
Yeah, let's go with that. Yeah, a lodge. Yeah, some type of.
You keep like
facility,
like setting up shop in like different places. Okay, this is again. I'm playing so much stuff, and we can talk over it. But like, also, there's a certain point where like you go into this like little cottage, and you hide under a bed.
Yeah.
And you hear, and this guy and this woman come in. Who is that woman?
I have no idea.
Okay, thank you.
Unless that's supposed to be. Is that supposed to be Kim? I don't know. I think that might be supposed to be Kim.
Maybe it is Kim.
Because at least the pants. Because I was wondering that too. Like who the heck is and that? But I noticed the more I think about it, like her pants are the same style or whatever she wears. So,
yeah.
So I think that's why Laura sometimes is like, like. I thought I heard you, but I won't say anything.
I can't talk for some reason.
Yeah.
What if she could talk and she didn't? Because like, cause she sounds like this.
Yeah. Laura, shut up.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. So the woman in that little cottage is, yeah. At one point you like, you hear this conversation. You don't see the people. This like man and this woman walk into a cottage. Feet. And their feet, and then the guy's like, hey, come on, baby. Ooh, yeah, mama. And then she kills him. Yeah. and yeah, the whole rest of the game, I was like, who the fuck was that woman? But that makes sense that it was Kim. There's so much crazy shit that happens in this game. This scene, I started taking clips because I was like, this is too weird not to show.
Oh, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. That.
You say amusing things.
This is just the weirdest. This guy's acting is the weirdest shit.
I bet all the people you victimized until now pleaded for their lives in this.
It's like, you wouldn't say it's. It's just bizarre. Yeah, it's weird. It's not like.
It's so weird. All of a sudden, not, Kim.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you gonna say?
Oh no, I was just gonna say it's not like it's bad or awful. It's just weird.
It's weird. That's what I was. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just it doesn't make. I was like, why? Kim is in a towel for some reason. I was like, what? Did she take a shower? What? I don't... Kim's in a towel.
It's Linda. You want to take some?
There's this guy... The usual stuff they sell. With a gun. And, really works. And he, the whole time he's talking to Kim in a towel, anyway. There's this drug called Linda.
I guess it doesn't really matter, huh? It doesn't matter what happens to you because you're not sure.
Drug makes you crazy, I guess. Like, there's this drug that people are taking, but taking it makes them, like, psychotic, I think.
You say such crazy things.
Yes. Yeah.
What's not true? I saw you with my own two eyes.
Yeah.
What wasn't true about how you mutated into that thing?
And the whole time, like, Laura is just watching this happen, and I get, like, they can't see her.
Liar! You're disgusting.
And he said about mutating into one of the creatures.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
What I also really like, though, is the his animation. He's just like... his limbs are very all over the place, and he's pretty flamboyant. He's holding this gun, and he's being very flamboyant because he's just like, "What do you think?"
Come on, show me. I want to see.
Whoa. All
right. He's also just like smacking them in the face with a gun.
Yeah, he does that a couple times.
He does it a lot.
And it's just like, I can take it.
I know. Like, they don't react. They're like, oh, ow. Oh, pistol whipped.
Oh, this is where, like, if you bleed green, then you're,
Yes.
Yeah, uh-huh.
This is another part where it's like, straight out of the thing. Like, this is literally just lifted straight out of the thing.
Yeah. Again, it's not like I like this game because it's a Carpenter. I mean, it helps. I mean,
it helps.
You know, it helps.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Who should I shoot first?
I like that he's also wearing, like, a Christmas sweater under a lab coat, I guess.
Maybe that's what Kenji used to wear when he made games on and off.
You won't be able to move. And if there's red blood, I guess I'll just have to untie the rope. Red blood proves you're human, you see?
If I ever auditioned for something, you know how, like, you bring, like, a scene?
Yeah.
I would bring this guy's monologue.
I want the tape, or I want the footage, please. Yes. Yes.
He's giving also, like, Alfred Ashford vibes.
Yes, yes. Very whole, true. Like,
I saw you.
Totally. I. Good call. Good call.
Oh, and then he just starts vomiting. I truly, like, I was so transfixed during this entire scene. I'm like, whoa, what is any of this?
And then he just takes more Linda,
I guess. Takes more pills, more Linda. Yeah. Linda. Why Linda? Oh, my God. I don't even know. This is, okay, the last note I wrote for this entire game also is, I love how the game barely explains anything.
Yes, there's very true. It's very, I would imagine people who play the game and like the game, yeah, that's, like, definitely one of their, hopefully one of their things that they like about it. But yeah, it does not hold your hand. Like, there's so many open plot holes in this thing that you're like, I guess I'll fill it out myself. I don't know.
He shoots Kim in the leg and she bleeds green.
Yep.
So she's a monster. Yeah, and there's stuff that the game fully explains, and then there's stuff that the game's just like, figure it out.
Yeah. Oh.
And then... Yeah.
Does she have, like, a green JJ or something? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, it's... I mean, the graphics are terrible.
Yes. That reminds me of Dead Alive or Evil Dead or
yes.
something.
Yes. Yeah, she has a monster comes out of her... It looks like it comes out of her stomach. But I think it is coming out of her vagina. I think it's coming out from between her legs. And it bites the dude's head off. And then she starts to transform, and it's just like weird gratuitous nudity for the only time in the whole game.
But, like, and I love those sound effects. Anytime anything drops, it just goes
yeah, splat.
It's like, what can we get from public access? Oh, yeah, great.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but, like, her towel comes off, and then, oh my God, it's very graphic. Like, she's fully naked. There's a like, tentacle monster coming straight out of her undercarriage. And then the real Kim comes in, shoots her clone, who then just continues to, like, just be there fully naked. And the game just keeps, like, being like, eh, check it out.
Hey, kiddos.
Hey.
We're not going to edit this part out. Don't worry.
I wonder, do you think they were like, no one's going to play that far into the game?
Yeah, honestly. Probably.
We got to censor this opening cutscene of a tentacle going in her mouth, but, like, the rest of it that is even more graphic, let's just leave in there because no one's going to even get there.
Or Kenji, like, was like, because I heard he did that with D, like, the produce game. Like, he said, oh, yeah, this is edited. But then before it went to pressing, I guess he, like, snuck back in a graphic scene. So I imagine he did maybe with this, like, yeah, it's done. Here you go. And then, you know.
Oh, I think I did read that. And I didn't take that note down. But now that you're saying it, I do remember that anecdote where he basically lied. He basically tricked them into publishing a really graphic game, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. No, you seem like a really cool guy. Yeah. I wish he was still around. That's, yeah. It's a shame.
Yeah.
So, yes. So, just a clone. Yeah. Just a crazy clone.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Like, okay. So there's clones. That part is fully not explained.
No, it's not.
At all.
No.
But basically, yeah, there's clones. You run around, like, a new area. You find, like, a pharmaceuticals lab. Then you find this, like, an observatory. And I took a video of this. Again, I'm not going to play it because at a certain point I'm like, oh, I'm taking way too many clips. Oh. You meet, like, a mad scientist. That part. Oh, should I play it?
You know what? If you've got it, let's do it.
We'll talk through it. We'll talk through it.
Yeah, I'm having so much fun revisiting these clips. Let's do it. Let's do it.
You find this very lucid man who's dying. I guess he's like this also, like, just really isn't explained. You just, like, wander into this dark observatory and there's a dying guy who's talking to his wife, who is a computer.
Yeah. I mean,
how did his wife become a computer?
I was gonna actually ask you that, because I don't know.
I don't think the game tells you. I think it's just like, well, one day I put my wife in a computer, and now she's a computer. Yeah,
great friend. Yeah.
I mean, this is a huge exposition dump. He talks about, like, Stonehenge, like, prophecies, a meteor, the plant monsters. He calls himself a mad scientist. He's like, I wanted to bring about the end of the world, but now I see the error of my ways. He mentions he's got two sons, one of whom is David from the plane, who's an FBI agent, and the other one, I think, works for the pharmaceutical company.
The final day of all days.
Oh, man.
The end of everything. This discovery shook me to the very core.
Oh, my God. This, like...
Yeah, this is what? 4 minutes?
Yeah. Just, like, 4 straight minutes of this. And that's, like, not just 4 minutes. I just took a clip of, like...
Oh,
a relevant, geez. You know? Like... portion.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, maybe when I was playing that, I remember hearing most of it, but I think I might have looked at my phone.
Zoned out, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I did the exact same thing. There were plenty of cutscenes where I was like, oh, time to look at TikTok. Kim will be talking for a while.
You can clean and cook your food. Oh, it's actually not bad.
I'm a poet. Did I mention that yet? I'm a poet. You want to hear me talk about poetry? Oh, my God. Eventually, he's like, can you grab that flamethrower and kill me?
Yeah. There, I got everything out that I need to say. Go ahead and just get it over with. Thank you.
The next vision you have is, like, Rome, like... like chariots, like Romans. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Yep.
Then you fall out of the sky and land on Parker's truck. Parker's the guy from the beginning who shot the monster. This is the first time I think you start falling out of the sky. You fall out of the sky a lot.
Yeah. And you're okay.
Yeah.
And you're fine. You're totally fine.
You're fine. You're fine. You're fine.
Oh my god. I really like, I just want to like greatest hits blow through because I'm looking at my notes. I'm like, this is too much to talk about.
Why don't we talk to the, let's see. Yeah. Cause I'm looking here. I wrote, was Kenji scared of Y2K? I don't know. Maybe that's like because the awesome mother type of computer thing that we can talk about.
Oh yeah,
that looks very interestingly shaped. I was like, man, this whole like Y2K thing. I think it's really scary Kenji. Like he thinks computers are just gonna go crazy and the world's gonna go crazy. There's, on January 1st, 2000, but you know,
there's a lot of computer panic. You like we were saying, the first time you say your name is when you say your name to enter this laboratory. You find a laboratory called the Lucy Parton Lab, and I was like, who the fuck is Lucy Parton? Lucy Parton's your mother, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You find out there's a huge exposition dump in a laboratory. Your mother is also a computer. So that is, if you're keeping track, that's two women who are computers so far in this game. Your mother's a computer. She tells you that she was working on cloning and that she was trying to clone a mammoth that was frozen in the ice and that they actually found an unknown organism inside the mammoth's stomach. So she thought it would be a good idea. And it was male. It was a male organism. Mm-hmm. So she thought it would be a great idea to take the preserved sperm from an unknown male organism in the preserved stomach of a mammoth and impregnate herself with it. And then she gave birth to you, Laura. So you play as Laura, who is the combination of your mother and a fucking, I don't know, an alien or a dinosaur? Like, what? And then she died, shockingly.
And Laura looks fine.
And Laura's
looks like a normal human being.
It looks fine and also takes that information like, okay.
Okay. So that's...
what else you got?
Fucked a bit off. Yeah.
There's all these... So there's this big... I didn't notice it at first. But your mother computer is big... I don't know, structure, right? Uh-huh. And then there's all these cylinder tanks around the whole place. It's like a circular room. There's tanks with like clones in them, like you have this boss fight, which isn't really a boss fight because there's no fighting back. But it's just like you got to kill all these clones. So you shoot all the clones, and then you got your mother computer is like you have to kill me. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I didn't like about this game was how long boss fights took.
Yes, I could totally understand. I can see that, yes.
Because it's really, really, to say that they're bullet sponges is not even...
No.
Because it's not even that they're, bullet sponges. It's like you have to accidentally hit the right tiny spot on the boss to take down their damage.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just constantly shooting at bosses, just, hoping to have enough health to last the fight. Right. And there was, very little... skill involved.
Skill, strategy, none of that.
But you shoot all these, weird, faces that are, on your mom computer, and once they're gone, this opening thing, this thing opens up in the middle of it that you then have to shoot. And that was the point where I took this note. I wrote, is the mom computer... a big vagina? ?
Yes.
And it is unmistakably, and I did not take a clip because that will get flagged.
And we'll probably have nightmares. I mean, I couldn't look at it all the way. I kind of was like, okay, you know, I think I'm around here. I mean,
like,
it's interesting you didn't notice it before, though, like with like the legs.
What? Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, once the thing opens up that you start shooting, that's when I was like, wait a second.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's
basically, you know, you're looking at this like metal structure that's like kind of tubular, and then in the middle of it, just imagine that you're looking at a naked woman. She's like a naked woman lying on her back with like her legs spread and like up, and you're just like gazing like straight down the barrel of her vagina. And that's what this looks like. And that's, you have it. To shoot what is the vagina. It's like a weird computer, like, I don't know, like, it's gross.
Computer flower thing. Yeah,
it's like a flower. It's like making squishing noises. The whole time I'm like, what the fuck? Why? Why though?
I don't know.
It was so disturbing. Oh, it's so fucked up. Then and then the child melts. Like, I know we're jumping all over the place.
I'm sorry. I'm just laughing my ass off of that. Oh my god.
That kid melts. Hang on, did I take a clip of that?
Yes, if you got a clip, because it's so messed up.
I did.
I'm crying. Hold on. Oh my god. Oh man. Okay, here we go.
Oh, Laura, I think I'm getting sick. Laura, I can't talk. Laura, I'm scared, please.
She's glowing.
Glowing out.
There's.
I can't see anything.
Oh my god! There's no explanation for why that happened.
No.
None.
No.
Whatsoever.
I guess it is kind of beautiful.
Oh my god!
In a weird way. Yes.
What the fuck? I.
I think I put that was my favorite scene.
That was
in
the best
game.
Scene.
Yeah.
Oh wait, hang on. Maybe my second favorite scene.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh, okay. Let's see if I'm right. Let's see. Oh yes.
Is this what you were thinking of?
Yes.
So Parker gets infected at some point and like goes off to die, and Kim is super upset, even though like it seemed like Kim hated Parker the whole time, and then all of a sudden she's like, no, I love him.
Yeah.
So then like Parker's like a monster. Kim shows up, is fully impaled by like his weird gross tentacle coming out of him, and they're like hugging. She's like embracing him,
or he's like humping. I don't
it's, and then and then she just like fully upends the shotgun at him, and then they just both die.
It's so beautiful.
So beautiful. And then this is the part that made me laugh the hardest.
Oh, yeah.
Just everyone's crying. Everyone's crying. Oh, man. We got. I'm gonna need to like try and wrap up because like I took a clip of the crazy piano guy who like shoved a burning log at his mom's face. I don't even want to talk about that.
Okay,
this has nothing to do with anything.
No. It's well, that weird kind
Jesus.
Of. I guess Twin Peaks or just bizarre things. Like yeah.
Oh, also when you're shooting your giant vagina mom computer, she also keeps just going, kill me, like it's so beyond fucked up. It's really, really crazy. I wrote down where is it, I was like, every couple hours we also see a sorcerer.
Yep. Yep. Uh huh. Yep.
Oh wait. Shit. Okay. I'm done. Oh, God. One more thing. One more clip. Because not the piano guy. The piano guy has literally nothing to do with anything.
No. No.
He's not.
Nothing to do with anything. It's just like, I don't know,
it just
a distraction.
Looks weird with the bandages and stuff like that. So,
yeah. Yeah. But this broke my brain.
Oh, who's there?
Oh,
I see. There,
on the map, and one of the locations on the map, there's a place that's just like called like Priest's House or something. And you go into it, and it's just like a 500-year-old man with a metal arm and a parrot. And I'm like, what the fuck does this have to do with anything?
Have you ever heard of William Knife?
And last year, I could not tell you.
Yeah.
I could not tell you.
No. He reads you a prophecy. The balance of all things, and then at a certain point, he dies. And serve the people responsible but I, there's two things I love about this. Number one is the foley of his metal hand.
Yes.
I'm talking about that meteorite that hit. But the second thing I love is, I think, about to happen.
A golden hue.
To protect this turning star from the crimson shadow, and awaken from the folds of time an ancient lord of destruction. Only then will hope lie with a child of destiny, born on both shores of history.
I just like how Laura has no response.
No response and no reaction. Oh, man. You know what I love about... you know what I really want to hear when I'm hearing a prophecy is... Like, it's a parrot telling you a prophecy.
Amazing. Truly, Patrick, truly amazing. Yes.
What did you get me into with this game?
I don't know, man. That's why I was kind of worried about, like, okay, we should do D2 as a game. Oh, man, was that a good idea? I hope I didn't. I mean, Jonathan, we've known each other since, what, 96? 96?
Yeah. I think so.
No, 95. 94, 95.
Has it been 30 years, Patrick?
I would say 30 years. Let's
Jesus
go with 30 years.
Christ, that's insane. That's,
you know,
crazy.
You know I like weird shit, so yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We know what we like. We know what we like. The visions keep going. You keep seeing, like, at a certain point, I wrote vision, war. Who could have guessed? So I was like, I know that, yeah. Like, once they started seeing, like, Rome and shit, I was like, oh, I bet the next one's going to be soldiers. Oh, and then an A-bomb called it. Yeah. At a certain point, the voice in your visions reveals that it's Mother Earth. So literally, mm-hmm. Mother Earth is talking to you in these visions. You have to go confront the evil sorcerer guy, who I think is in a volcano or something.
Some
or
weird
a mountain
thing. Yeah, yeah.
He like fuses with some shit, and the final boss. I did enjoy how it looked.
Oh yeah,
I think I took a clip of it. I wrote down cosmic horror.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was like, I really did appreciate like the visuals, at least, of this final boss battle. Because you go into the mountain, you know, the whole thing leads you to basically this moment where you like walk into the mountain, and the sorcerer is in this weird like chrysalis. And I was like, the only way I can think to describe this is cosmic horror.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I think that's the best way to describe it.
Because it's like, there's just like the whole, you're in like a void of like psychedelic colors.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this crazy spinning image behind the monster. And the monster is just this big, gross, fleshy ball covered in eyes. And I'm like, I am into how this looks.
Uh-huh. You know what the amazing thing was?
Huh.
I remember back when this game got released, or when it was released, and EGM did a review of this game. This was the image. I don't know if you remember EGM. They always had like a picture of the game, and then they had the ratings below it. This was the image they had for D2.
What? That's a huge spoiler.
Yeah. I mean, it was probably like a picture like this. Like, and I went back... I don't know. It was a while ago because I have a stack of magazines, and I was just like, "What the? they just put the end boss in the fucking review. I'm like, they don't care.
So, well, I was just gonna say, like, once again, they were probably like, no one's gonna fucking, no one's gonna make it that far.
I think they gave it like fives and sixes.
Yeah. It was reviewed like okay, essentially. Like, I think people praised the story, but weirdly, I think they had the same kind of criticisms that I do in the year 2025, which is just like the gameplay loop is pretty monotonous and repetitive, right. And it gets like the gameplay gets stale. The story is batshit nuts.
Yeah.
And that's really the reason to play this game. I for the final boss battle, I wrote, bold move to have to fight with no audio or video.
Yes, because your eyes and ears.
Yeah.
It takes it away. Yeah. So, yeah.
The boss takes away the final boss takes away your vision and then your hearing, and then it's just literally just silence and and black. Oh, there is a point earlier in the game. Hang on, I wrote this note. Oh, it was right after Kim and Parker die. Right after Kim and Parker die, you hear Kim again, and she recites a poem over a black screen. There's nothing on screen. It's just an audio of her poem. I timed it. 3.5 minutes.
Holy shit.
3.5 minutes of literally nothing on screen and just the audio of her reading a fucking poem.
I must have timed out.
You're probably looking at your phone. Yeah.
I was looking at my phone. Wow. 3 minutes. Holy shit.
But you fight the boss. He takes away your eyes and your ears. You die. Basically, I think you die and then you eat a magic flower and then come back and kill him. Yeah. And then you wake up after all that's done. You remake the earth or something.
Then you see David. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you wake up like in a bookstore in Times Square on New Year's Eve, 1999. And then, and David is there. So, we didn't even talk about David. The whole game, you have these, like, kind of flashbacks of, like, talking to David. And I think it's eventually revealed that, like, those 8 days that were missing, he was taking care of you, and then he died. So, like, he's been dead the whole time. But everyone dies, but basically, like, I think the conceit is that once you beat the final boss and you're able to, like, fix everything, you undo everything. So, like, no one's actually dead. Like, you just show back up and no one remembers you, but, like, Kim is alive because, you know, like, you're in a bookstore and there's, like, a book of her poetry. I'm assuming Parker is probably, you know, searching for UFOs, which was his job. you meet David and then you go outside and it's New Year's Eve. It's just New Year's Eve. It's like, this is what I thought was funny about this is, like, it's New Year's Eve 1999.
Yeah.
And you're just in a bookstore?
Near midnight. Yeah.
It's like 11:45. and this guy's just like, hey, you dropped your locket. By the way, it's almost the new millennia.
Do you want to celebrate it? Or you just want to buy that Kim book?
That's pretty awesome.
I love that poet.
I like that poem.
Yeah.
Please.
Okay.
And then you the game ends.
Yeah.
With a stock footage montage of all of the stock footage that was in all of the visions. And then it's just like infographic after infographic after infographic. And you said you wrote them down.
Yeah. So let's see.
This is a bummer.
So there's a definition of the earth. Like what the earth is.
Yeah. Just like, here's what the earth is. Yeah.
Population statistics, HIV virus statistics, AIDS death statistics, starving children statistics, illiterate people statistics, living without electricity statistics, malnutrition statistics, rainforest statistics, temperature, carbon dioxide, plant species, fish species, bird species, manual species, that go extinct. That was the last one. So extinction.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm like, what the I'm like, okay.
The first like couple infographics, I was like, oh, okay. And then it was like HIV. And I'm like, what? Wait, yeah. What? AIDS deaths. Huh? Deforestation. I'm like, okay, all right. I get it.
Fish but, species.
Yeah, but really, like, there was like several back-to-back graphics of like HIV, and I'm like, was this game about AIDS? No? Okay.
I don't remember.
Oh my god! We did it. I thought by the time we finished talking, this ending movie and
would end.
Ending movie would be done, but it's not. They're still outside the bookstore. Let's at least wait for her to say David. You can hear David. Laura's voice.
Yes, that's true. It's so beautiful. That's what the listeners want to hear.
Yeah. Saint, what is that? Saint John's? Saint Jones, Jones bookstore.
Oh, yeah, the great Saint Jones. That's
oh,
right.
And like, yeah, I love this also, this era of stuff. Oh, wait, here we go. Here, she's about to speak.
Well, anyway, I guess I'll be going.
David!
David!
The way they title things is so great in, like, Japanese games that take place in America in this era.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Resident Evil had this kind of shit all the time, but, like, St. Jones bookstore, I love. The grenades that you have are called G-bombs.
G-bombs.
Just as G-bomb. The shotgun ammo that you get is S-P-E-E-R bullet. Spear bullet.
Spear bullet. Oh, my god!
What the fuck does that mean?
I totally forgot about that.
Spear
right.
bullet, yeah. Spear I was upset. I was obsessed with spear bullet and G-bomb.
Yes, oh. Totally down with the G.
G-bomb yeah. sounds like an Axe body spray.
Yes, it does. G-bomb.
G-bomb.
Smell.
You want to smell like G-bomb? I wow. have... I have one more piece of trivia for you, and one
okay.
more
okay. okay.
one more thing to share, one more piece of trivia before
yes.
we
yes.
do our final
Absolutely.
Thoughts and our rating. So, the when before the game came out, and maybe you know this piece of trivia, but before Ooh. The game came out, there was a demo that was released for D2. And huh? I can't remember what it was called, but it was called like D2 something something demo. And if you played the demo, you could, I guess you could have a save file. And if you carried that save file over, like on a VMU, when the retail version came out, and this is only in Japan, not in the US,
huh.
you had to have the demo save file and a Japanese version, a retail version of this game. And if you did that on the opening menu, it unlocked a secret movie.
Oh, I didn't know about this.
And the secret movie is the trailer for the original scrapped version of D2 that was being developed for the Panasonic M2.
Oh, wow.
So it's just a... I was going to say it's quick, but it's not that quick. It's like 5 minutes long. It's like four
okay.
and a half minutes.
Yeah.
But you get to
That's
see
cool.
what... Yeah, you get to see like what they were doing with D2 before it completely changed. So like there's this gothic castle we're looking at. What does that say? Transylvanian? It just says Transylvanian.
Okay.
There's some Japanese. There's a guy like sitting
Smoking?
Down in a throne.
Oh, he's having a bad day, it looks like.
Yeah, there's a guy with a beard. And this, you know what's funny is like, this is very like FMV. I'm assuming this is what D looked like.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Just like that kind of bad, like really early CG video game mm-hmm. cutscene looking stuff. And like this to me clearly is like, oh, we're doing Dracula shit, because you get these images of, it's very like Bram Stoker's Dracula, because it's a bunch of like bodies on pikes, which is literally straight out of, that's like visuals straight out of Bram Stoker's Dracula, the Francis Ford Coppola movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what any of this Japanese stuff says.
Again, probably Bram Stoker's Dracula. Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Again, incredibly slow pacing.
Yeah,
is an issue. There's someone in a coffin. You get the idea.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's neat. That's really neat.
Yeah, So you can look it up on, if you just search like D2 secret movie on YouTube, you can find this. Really quickly. Last notes. Do you have any final notes before we rate it?
I think we've gone over, we've gone over my notes.
Yeah.
I think the big thing I just wanted to end it with is, like I've said a couple times, like, you know, this guy just needed to direct a movie, but at the same time, I'm kind of afraid of what his movie would be like, because as the game has some pacing issues, I don't know how the movie would be. But
it's like, I have an idea for a 7-hour long movie.
Oh my God. I mean, you know, make D2 the movie, but just don't make it, you know, 3.5 hours long.
Yeah.
With, like, your clips. So, yeah.
I have my rating. Do you have your rating?
God, it was tough. Let me go back. I was writing down. This is tough. Why don't you go first? Because this was tough for me.
Okay. Again, we're rating this as we would have when it came out. So that would be 2000. So
right.
Jesus Christ, 25 years ago. I'm going to say 3.5 stars.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. And please tell why.
I think young me would have loved this. I think I would have been obsessed with this if I played it back in the day. Just like, not so much gameplay, but just the story, the fucking weirdness of it, how weird it is, how little it makes sense, but like just the vibe and the tone. It's so in line with the other stuff that I loved and was obsessed with at the time. Like Silent Hill, Resident Evil, obviously, but even like House of the Dead 2, which we've talked about. How like weird that story is, but like I was so taken with how weird that story was that we made our own like little movie out like based on like the plot of House of the Dead 2. So just like the general vibes of this game I thought were fantastic, and even if the gameplay is lacking and the pacing is pretty terrible, there's very little like it. And I don't know. The more the longer time goes on and the more mediocre shit I watch and play, the more I wish people would make stuff as weird as this. Even if it's not good, I just like, I get so bored with the same shit over and over again. I'm like, give me something new. Do something new. So, yeah.
Okay, no. No, honestly, I have a 3.5 or a 4. I'll go with 4 just back then.
Yeah.
I think because I liked, again, there's no association with it. But you know, I liked D, I liked Enemy Zero.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Kenji. Yes. I think it was just the storytelling and the bizarreness is what you just nailed right there. That's what's fascinating. But yeah, that's why it was tough for me, because gameplay, I would even imagine back then, I'm trying to remember just how frustrating it was. But at the same time, I don't think the whole, you know, back and forth or the repetitiveness, because games were kind of like that back then. So I don't think it was that. I think it was more or less the combat where I was just kind of like, I'm not feeling any, you know, real, I don't want to say sensitive of like, oh my God, I could die in just one try or whatever, but that would really be the length in the gameplay. I think is probably the fighting are my
the combat is so weird, because it almost feels that like they were making this game and they're like, someone was like, hey, you have to put combat in this game. They're like, okay,
yeah, I can see that.
Like that's what it felt like, because the combat was so half-baked and like procedural. It just got really annoying. At first I'm like, oh, this isn't so bad, and then I'm like, this is annoying. I'm annoyed by the combat. Like, the boss fights are too long, the combat's super repetitive. Two things I loved about the game in 2025: unlimited ammo for a lot of the guns, and you can save anytime you want. That's a huge one, that you can save anytime you want. Some games now don't let you do that, and that's fucking crazy.
No, you have to go to this checkpoint.
Like every single video game should let you save whenever the fuck you want to save at any point, I will die on that hill.
I'll join you. Yeah. I mean, but it's so true. I mean, and on a side tangent, sorry, yeah. But I think that's honestly why I have such a hard time playing with, and I know this is a thing with games for years, but especially now, like what we're just talking about, that's what I get frustrated with a lot, because if I do not, like D, I didn't play it all straight in a row. I mean, I played the first half last weekend, and then I finished it up this weekend. But
yeah,
that's the hard thing I have with games, is if I'm back to a standpoint, mm-hmm. and then I have to remember what I've done, let's say because of work and just general life.
Yeah.
I didn't
yeah.
play this for a month.
Yeah.
Now I'm back here going, okay, I know there's instructions what I have to do next, but how do I get there? What did I need to get before I did that?
Yeah.
And I get turned off. That's usually how I stop playing games. Like I have to redo it, and I don't want to spend the time.
Yes. So I completely agree with that too. Because that's happened to me before. Even just like today, shortly before we did this, I was playing Avowed, and I like Avowed is very fun. I would recommend it. But I haven't played it in like at least a week, if not more. I might have not played it in like 2 weeks. And even just that period of time, just like not playing it for 2 weeks, I was like, fuck, I don't remember how to do anything. What am I doing? I don't remember how any of this goes. Oh, well.
Well, you're going to be so disappointed with me. And I don't know how long it's going to take, but that was like Silent Hill for me. I love Silent Hill 2, the remake. I love it.
Yeah.
And I want to go back to it. But I know I'm going to have to start over again.
Oh, you started playing it and then put it down?
Yeah.
Shit.
It's been a while. It's been close to a month, I would say.
Yeah, you're fucked. Yeah. The Silent Hill 2 remake is so good, but it's very faithful to the original Silent Hill 2 in that, like, it is not a game that holds your hand. You have to remember exactly what you're doing and where you are and like where you're going and all that shit. Mm-hmm. And if you put that down for even a couple of days, you're going to pick it back up and be like, oh God, what was I doing? Yeah.
How long does it take you to beat it? Do you remember?
I think a week. I don't know how many hours, but I think I started playing it and then I probably finished it in about a week. And I played a lot of it, like, because I was really into it. So I was probably playing it like every night.
Okay. Yeah, because that's a lot of... Your PS5, you don't have a physical disc one, right?
Just have the... I do everything digitally now.
Because I have some games that I could just give you. I'll be like, I know you have this one, you have this one. Was that game Stellar Blade?
I've heard of that.
I bought it thinking cool, it'll be like a fun game. Yeah. I haven't even turned it on yet.
Jesus.
The thing is just sitting there on the shelf. I'd give it to you like, dude, I don't know why I spent $60 here. Just take it. But
Did you get Bomb Rush Cyberpunk?
No, thank you for reminding me.
I know you found a physical copy.
I think I put it in my cart and I didn't go through. Yeah. Shit. Thank you for the reminder.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Okay, yeah, I'll go ahead and get that... I'll get that one taken care of. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. No, because can you play two players in that, or is it just
one? I think it's just one.
One. Yeah. Wow. Because in a couple weeks, I'm gonna have to pick out some two player stuff.
We're gonna be in the same location for the first time in years. let's bring to a close our first season of Casting Dreams. This is awesome. Thank you for recommending D2. Thank you for listening, everyone out there, for listening to this. We're going to take a break. We'll be back probably later this year. I'm not going to say when because I have no idea. But we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with another 10 games, and we'll do a second season of this. And I think we had a third season planned out, too, because we sat down a little while ago and, like, made up a whole list of games that we want to play and talk about. So we'll be back, but in the meantime... You can follow Casting Dreams wherever you find podcasts. You can subscribe to them. And you can follow Casting Dreams on TikTok and Instagram. And you can follow Cactus Rodeo, which is my podcast network and comics. You can follow Cactus Rodeo on Facebook. And that's pretty much it. If you have anything that you'd like to say, you can just leave us a comment, or you can email us at podcast@cactusrodeo.com. Patrick, any final thoughts on the first season of Casting Dreams?
This has been awesome. Yeah. This has been something in talks. I mean, we've talked about this,
for like 5 years, like six years, 7 years. I don't know, a long ass time.
So I want to thank you for getting this pushed on something I love very much, which is the Dreamcast. Yes. And yeah, man, it's been great. I really look forward to these. I have a blast.
Yeah,
and
me too.
And yeah, we just get to talk about stuff we love. I mean, how cool is that? Yeah. So
it's and
been
it's great. An excuse for us to hang out.
Well, that too. So yes, that too. But yeah, thanks, man. This has been great. Thank you for doing everything you're doing.
Thank you. And thank you for listening. And we will see you. We'll be back later this year with more Casting Dreams. Cast hard?
Dream big? No.
No, I think that's it. Cast hard, dream big.
Okay.
Hey, let's do it again. For real this time. Cast hard.
Dream big.